1-900-WRESTLING is brought to you, as always, by patreon.com/1900WRESTLING. Thanks for making our dreams come true. We brought you guys down to the floor of WrestleMania, unlike anybody else possibly could. We did our best to honor what you guys have done for us in supporting this program. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. But will it continue? We will find out on this meaningful Superstars Shake-Up edition of 1-900-WRESTLING.
I want you to call me for all of wrestling's latest news and views. I've been involved in wrestling for 35 years, and nobody but nobody knows wrestling like me. Remember the number,
1-900-WRESTLING.
Stupid idiots.
They call me Hot Rod.
If you smell what The Rock is cooking.
And his name is John Cena.
Well, look at this, prima donna.
Thank God Donald Trump's a whole idiot.
And welcome to the 1-900-WRESTLING after WrestleMania. The final after WrestleMania of after WrestleMania season. My name is Justin Robert Young, joining you as always from Oakland, California. And my tag team partner all the way in Austin, Texas, it is Willie Dills Gregory. Welcome back to the show, Willie.
Dude, I'm excited to be back in our studios, our respective studios across the, you know, half the country. The other half of the country, the other side from Orlando, where we were recently, and rainy day here in Austin, ready to talk some wrestling and what the future holds for this very podcast.
Not only, yeah, not only for the business in general, but also for this podcast specifically. I do want to remind everybody that if you are watching here on Twitch, we now have emotes for our subscribers to the Justin R. Young channel, including the 1-900 Wrestling Championship belt, the 8 pixels of gold right down there in the bottom. You can go ahead and flash your support not only in our chat, but also in every other chat that you go visit if you are a subscriber to this channel. So where do we want to begin? First things first, I do want to just say to everybody again, thank you for putting us where we were at WrestleMania. I hope everybody enjoyed those episodes, because listening back to them when I was editing them, you know, I kind of got a little emotional. Like, I think I really enjoy them. I guess I just hope that other people do. Willie, you listened back to it. What did you think reliving those moments?
Well, it's like, to me, listening back, it was like, I don't care if this was a podcast at this moment. I'm just glad that I have this, right? It's almost like pictures of you as a kid or something. Like, you just have that now forever. But then it's like amped up to 11 by the fact that we can also share that with people who feel like they had a stake in it, right? Like, I had a bunch of people tweeting at me afterwards and saying it made me so happy to hear how happy you guys were.
Yeah.
At WrestleMania, and to know that I could help get you guys there and then enjoy these episodes. Like, to me, that was just a really cool thing. It wouldn't have happened without the people who listen to the show, obviously. And the fact that it did happen is, it's just crazy. It's still crazy.
Yeah.
I was talking to somebody about it, and I was trying to convey what it actually felt like to sit where we were. And they were just, I could tell looking at their face, I was like, none of this is working. Like, there's no way outside of actually sitting you down there to make it real, right? And I think maybe the closest thing are those episodes. So I really hope people are enjoying those. But it was just quite an experience, man.
Two things, if you have not listened to them, I very much encourage you to listen. In the indie episode, because we did an episode kind of recapping the indies and going with us as we went to these indie events, including the Ring of Honor show, the salt pouring out of every facet of Willie Dills when Dalton Castle failed to secure the Ring of Honor World Championship. That is definitely worth a listen. And almost everybody who is a wrestling fan that knew that I went to WrestleMania, the first question they asked was how loud it was when the Hardy Boys made their surprise return. That's why the episode exists. We got that pop. We got that. You know, it's so funny because you can hear the crowd.
Yeah.
Start doing the delete chants as soon as the New Day showed up.
Yeah.
And then they kind of quieted down. It's like, no, we can't. No, it's not. We're not that good.
They're
we're not that
actually
worthy.
Doing this. Yeah.
And then as soon as the as soon as that hit, oh my God, amazing. One more thing about last weekend that we did not get to because we were just basking in the joy of WrestleMania. We wound up going back to a local watering hole. After WrestleMania, just in time for Last Call.
It was the watering hole that we had gone to before WrestleMania as well. So we came full circle.
We did. Where it all begins again.
Yep.
That's where we were. We were not the only person coming back from WrestleMania, obviously. There was a lot of people that had made their way back there. But specifically, there was a participant of WrestleMania there. Who did we see?
Somebody who had a big moment at WrestleMania, I'd say.
Had a WrestleMania moment. The one, the only, Mojo Rawley, he does not get hyped. He stays hyped in Zubaz pants, by the way.
Oh, yeah. No, that, I guess that's just his style. That's
no, yeah.
That's not a character.
Living the gimmick. Mojo Rawley is a real person, which just made me enjoy him all the more. He was with his boys, and I guess as they say in the business, quite a few pieces of talent on his arm.
Yeah, and he, so I saw him, I noticed him before you guys did because I was going to the bathroom.
Yeah.
And he was kind of getting a little, like, a little bit mobbed, not overly mobbed. It was actually people were being pretty cool, but a lot of people trying to get selfies with him.
Yeah.
Like, in the, there was an indoor area and an outdoor area where we were. I walked by and all I see is all this, you know, activity. I'm like, well, maybe I can get one. And I realize, nah, it's going to be too much. But I stand there for a second and watch him. And he yells at like some of the people who some of the random people who I don't think are part of his posse taking pictures with him. He's like, "Let's go in there and get effed up!" And he's very hyped, like truly, truly, like you said, living the gimmick. He really is that character.
He is that guy. And I just the one final footnote on that is I tweeted out the next day that we saw him closing down a bar because that we were also closing down the bar. We were happy to have him along board. He liked the tweet. He was just, very, very excited to be recognized for his partying achievements. Let's get into some of the week that was and will be, though we will save the fate of this podcast for the end of the show. So you're going to have to listen to the end to figure it out. Where do you want to start here? I got four topics.
We got a lot of stuff to talk about. Let's just briefly talk about, because I think this was, you know, the direct result of WrestleMania for a lot of people is they watch it and then they watch Raw and SmackDown the next day, right?
Yeah.
And we were both traveling on Monday. I traveled. I loved your tweet, by the way, the most athletic thing I saw this weekend.
The most athletic thing. Without a doubt, I saw Jeff Hardy work two ladder matches within 24 hours, but by far the most athletic thing that I saw was after the night we had on mere hours sleep, Willie Dill's waking up and getting to the airport on time.
I did it, man. I made it. I was even early. I had time to. I had played some Hearthstone in the airport, man. It
just,
was it was quite an achievement, one I'm personally proud of.
And trying you should
to tell the ticketing agent that I didn't have any bags was incredibly difficult when my voice didn't work anymore, though. that was a touch and go moment. But so like most people, they're like WrestleMania is exciting, and then the next day is kind of equally exciting. For me, it was like such a letdown suddenly to not be there anymore. But yet, I was very excited about Raw, and then the beginning of Raw. We just got to address it. Roman came out and got booed for, 10 minutes straight?
So, kind of an amazing for everybody that has the idea that the WWE does not pay attention to the crowd or, there's a lot of
that they're just pushing Roman just, like, with no awareness at all of what the reaction to him is. I think that's what a lot of people think.
Well, and also, but there's the idea that like that Vince is kind of oppositional to the crowd, or specifically the Raw after WrestleMania crowd.
He thinks he knows what's best for us or something, and
so
it's just going to do what he wants regardless, right?
This would seem to be a masterclass in them understanding that they get, at least theatrically, how to handle the Raw after WrestleMania crowd. Specifically in this.
Yeah.
The show starts, nothing happens. It's literally just chants and cheers, right?
Sure.
They wait until the first anti-Roman, there's a thank you taker chant, and then there's an anti-Roman Reigns chant, and mm-hmm. as the anti-Roman Reigns chant is at its peak, the count, I believe, was at 13 minutes of just boos, chants, vulgar chants, by the way. Like,
yeah, no, there's some F-bomb chants coming through on live television.
Big, big F-bomb, a clear HD F-U Roman chants. And you got to say, man, the Samoan Joe, just kind of a masterclass for him, right? Like he would every time that the chants would die down, he'd raise the mic a little bit, get him hyped a little bit more, until finally the go home. What does he say? What does he tell him, Willie?
Basically, he just said, "This is my yard now."
Boom.
Drop the mic. That was
tell you what.
That was the end of the promo. Beginning and end of promo, five words. This is, I think, that was the Roman that I could get on board with as getting this massive push more than anything. Because I think the heel turn is what people like want, the true heel turn. And there's like arguments to be made that he just is heel. He's just working heel already. And he worked heel pretty much at WrestleMania. I mean, he rolled away from some stuff. You know, he made Taker kind of come to him, and then, you know, he built up the final spear pretty well, like coming off the ring four times. I don't know. He seemed to be working heel to me in a lot of ways. This was great, though, because this is kind of like the silent badass who just doesn't give an F what you think.
Yeah.
That's kind of perfect. That's a character I think works really well for him, because it's like a tweener, right? And he doesn't have to talk about tater tots.
I think that's the biggest problem. The biggest problem is that there was a point in which they wanted him to be Cena. He's not Cena. And Cena, the more Cena talks, even if you hate him when he walks in, you will like him better when he walks out. Because
he's
funny,
really
he's clever, he's charming.
And if Roman's not as good as Cena, you don't have to force him to be.
No.
He could be his own thing, which is really good too. And, you know, the matches he's put on, some people like to chant, "You can't wrestle." I disagree. He could do some pretty athletic stuff.
Yeah.
And,
except for lifting 400 pounds of dead weight from the dead man.
Sure.
You know, to get him up for that reverse.
Oh, God. There was one actual tough moment in the match, and that was the botched
tombstone. But they moved on.
Yeah, reverse tombstone. Yeah. But, I mean, look, we expected it was going to be a little bit rough, and that's fine. That's kind of like not really the point of that match anyway, right?
Well, in fact, it kind of was. It was the point of that
match.
Sure. Because if that match was five stars, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then Undertaker retired. Number one, you would think, oh, my God, Undertaker still has something left in the tank, and they just fed him to Roman. This is BS. The fact that Undertaker wrestled a substandard match kind of makes it make more sense. I think that there's when everybody was walking out, people were like, okay, well, if Undertaker's not going to wrestle anymore, then yeah, of course he's gonna put over Roman. Like, there's no, like, it kind of took a little bit off the idea, the mythos that this is Vince McMahon forcing Roman down our throats. But
the only thing that I could slightly agree with people on is that a lot of people wanted it to be somebody else who needed the rub more than Roman Reigns, right? Because Roman's already had plenty of rub for a while, right? Like, he's been kind of pushed pretty hard. But then it's also like, my kind of response to that is, who's like the guy who makes sense to put into that match who needs that rub? Like, the storyline doesn't really make sense if it's not like I'm passing the torch a little bit here.
Well, you know, apparently it was
that you should be too, right? I don't know. Like
there are conflicting reports on who wanted what. Apparently the idea was for months going back was that Undertaker was going to retire. This was going to be his last match. But depending on whose report you read, either Undertaker wanted Cena and Vince decided that it should be Roman, or it's the other way around. Vince wanted Cena because it was going to be a bigger match. You could bill it as an Undertaker retires match.
Yeah.
And then Undertaker's like, no, it should be Roman because I want to make the biggest star I can going out, and Cena's already a megastar.
Cena's going away for a while, right, to do some stuff. So, like, does that make sense? I don't know.
Well, because that was the other thing everybody said, was that, like, oh, well, you know, Shawn Michaels retired Ric Flair, and The Undertaker retired Shawn Michaels, so the legend retiring a legend isn't weird. But both of those guys had 2 to 3 years left in the tank as regular wrestlers. If people keep casting John Cena in movies, John Cena will only be doing WrestleManias forever, right?
Yeah, he'll be around for SummerSlam, then he'll be around for WrestleMania, and you know, and maybe like some pay-per-views in between.
And even then, if Daddy's Home becomes a franchise, then we're not going to see a lot of him. Like there's just, sure. I mean, because the reason why The Rock isn't there more than he is because he's got two or three franchises that take up his year, basically.
The Rock is in 3 movies every single weekend, apparently, that I can tell.
Yeah.
That guy is like the most hardworking guy in Hollywood right now. And if Cena's like following those footsteps, and I wouldn't be surprised, honestly. You know, the only thing holding Cena back right now is that haircut in Hollywood. So once he rocks that out a little bit, he'll be fine.
All right.
But it's true. Like, look, you could definitely say a Cena retiring Undertaker match would be great. It'd be fantastic. But does it need to be that just because it's been that before? I don't think so. And I'll be honest, like, the match itself, we were hyped as hell for that thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the ending, we were hyped as hell for. And being there for it was amazing. There's nothing I could say about that match where I'm like, yeah, it should have been this way, should have been that way. It was great. It turned out great.
Yeah. I mean, the WrestleMania, which I biasly say is the greatest WrestleMania of all time, had three legitimate had three legitimate WrestleMania moments, right? Mm-hmm. It had the Hardys coming back, it had John Cena and Nikki Bella getting engaged, and it had the Undertaker. And by the way, for anybody who wants to criticize the three of them, obviously the Hardy Boys will probably be the most popular one. When you're in the center of 70,000 people, it's actually only 50,000 according to Meltzer. Shut up. 70,000 people. I looked up into the corners and there was no empty seats in the nosebleeds, right?
No.
There was nothing. It was assholes to elbows in there. Now,
I mean, I could tell you it felt like 70,000 people were in the way of me getting out with my chair.
Yes. Oh, God, Jesus. Talk about that.
If you want to hear me being salty after Dalton Castle loses, catch me trying to get a WrestleMania chair out of the...
Jesus. 4 different checkpoints. Like, we're trying to smuggle somebody out of the USSR. It's just like, hey, here's our ticket. Can we please walk out? Long story short, there was such a reaction to John Cena in getting engaged to Nikki Bella. The lady sitting next to us was literally there for one match. She was an entertainment reporter. It brought in mainstream press, the likes of which they'd never get. Yada, yada, yada. Okay, enough of sit-down marks for today. I got 3 topics for you. Actually, 4 here. We have the JBL bullying, all right?
Yeah.
Kofi Kingston out for a couple months and what that might mean. And I have a real world promo for you. This is something that I'd like to start to be more of a thing.
Sure.
Here
find people cutting promos in the real world.
Just
find,
if you can find hashtag real world promos, you got to give it to us on Twitter at Justin R. Young or at Willie Dills. I would
love.
The
sports world has a ton of these, by the way. You know, I mean, there's just a million of these good ones out there. But this one that you found, I watched it several times. I'm not going to lie.
It's startling. It's great. It's amazing. This is next level work. All right, so let's go ahead and start with that. This is, I forget which police department this is, but let's go ahead.
That's not important. What's important is what they're going to do.
Yeah. So just for the audio listeners, there is a sheriff standing behind a podium looking directly to camera, flanked on both sides are tactical outfitted sheriff's officers, including wearing face masks and glasses.
This is if Sanity became a police force. This is what they would look like.
So this is, all right, so just so you know, there's a lot of physical intimidation, and they're placed perfectly. It looks like a wrestling promo, right?
It really does, yeah.
All right, here we go.
You got Eric.
I want our citizens to know that I am aware of this serious issue. I am asking our residents to please call and let us know if you know of a location that this poison is being pushed out to our streets. You can remain anonymous. To the dealers that are pushing this poison, I have a message for you. We're coming for you. As a matter of fact, our undercover agents have already bought heroin for many of you. We are simply awaiting the arrest warrants to be finalized. So, to the dealers, I say, enjoy looking over your shoulder, constantly wondering if today's the day we come for you. Enjoy trying to sleep tonight, wondering if tonight's the night our SWAT team blows your front door off the hinges. We are coming for you. If our agents can show the nexus between you, the pusher of poison, and the person that overdoses and dies, we will charge you with murder. We are coming for you. Run.
Oh, my God, Willie.
I mean, look, if I'm a heroin dealer, you know, I'm considering a face turn because that is scary.
That is insane. How great is that? He looks right to camera. He sets him up. Like, this is just great. I would love. All right. So how would you book that angle? How do you involve him in Monday Night Raw tonight?
Well, okay, so here's what they do. Basically, they interfere with almost every match.
Yeah.
For like an entire evening, coming into the ring with dogs, throwing people up against the ropes.
Yeah.
Searching their pockets, patting them down, you know, not even using handcuffs. They're using like zip ties, and they're just tying people up.
Yeah.
Basically, it's kind of like the Nexus. They just keep coming back and disrupting everything. And faces, heels, everybody.
Yeah.
Until finally like Vince has to like put a stop to it.
I feel they like just, they have to plant heroin on Enzo.
Oh yeah. No. Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, somebody has to have it and be like, that's not mine. Yeah, Enzo's the perfect, by the way, foil for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then basically you have, you know, a whole angle where Vince is like, is police overreach. This is too much.
So
that puts Vince over, and then you know you could have Zeb Coulter come back.
And oh, he's like, back! Dutch is back!
Yeah, and be like, no, we need these police to protect our people. And you know they got a whole angle, and then at a certain point, you know you can bring back the Hulkamaniac Donald Trump. He could come back.
Oh like, God! Yeah. These, oh totally! Yeah. Yeah. Blue Lives Matter.
Seizures. Can't go wrong, really. Here.
By the way, Lake County, Florida.
Lake County. It's clearly Florida.
Which, by the way, not far away from Orlando. In fact, it's literally probably about 10 minutes from where we were staying in Altamont Springs. So we were right next.
I left my heroin at home when I went to my WrestleMania trip.
It is just on the east side of Lake Apopka in Central Florida. So so maybe he was inspired. Who knows?
Sure. I mean, maybe he went to a bunch of indie wrestling shows and then saw WrestleMania and was like, this is the way.
Exactly. I'm gonna speak. I'll tell you what. I feel like I should submit an official question to the Lake County Sheriff's Department and ask if there was any inspiration from WrestleMania in his video, because it looks great
from the blocking that they used, right? Like, just that's the big thing, and the instant walk off after he was done, because you know every wrestle, like every, like, because this is like a backstage promo, yeah, right? So every time they end it, like the only thing that would have made this better is as they walked off, just like Renee Young sits there kind of shaking her head like, wow. That's how they end every backstage.
Well, it's either that or you go old school and it's just Mean Gene Okerlund, like, yuck. And now back to action.
Sure.
All right. So there we go. The Lake County Sheriff's Department. You get a real promo of the week. What do you want to talk about? A lot of hootenanny on JBL. Mauro Ranallo is apparently out as the SmackDown announcer, and JBL
is not going to finish his contract out.
Yeah, JBL is being blamed for it, and then we have the Superstar shakeup, and we can probably combine that with Kofi. Which one do you want to do?
Sure. I mean, let's talk about the JBL stuff a little bit. It's been like the only thing going on R-Squared Circle for a while. So, I find it interesting that this comes up. And the fans, after what happened with Bill DeMott, right? That he got removed as he was a head trainer at NXT. What was his
the head trainer at the Performance Center.
Sure. So, you know, and then it comes out that he's kind of got these questionable tactics as far as building up the toughness of the wrestlers. A lot of it kind of seems to me, it feels like, stories we've heard coming out of the military for like years, right? Which is that, you know, your drills, you break them down and build them back up, right? Yeah. That's the whole thing. That's what we do here. It feels like maybe there's just a lot of that has kind of seeped into, like, we're trying to make tough guys.
Sure.
So the tough guy kind of mentality, the tough guy world is like, I was tough enough to deal with it when I was coming up.
Yeah.
So now, whether or not JBL actually just enjoys it and is like, you know, some kind of sadistic dude, whatever that might be.
Yeah.
Maybe there's not anything wrong with him at all. This is just how he remembers it being, and he's continuing what he thinks is tradition. It's like hard to tell really from the outside what's really causing this type of activity.
So let's break down the story a little bit.
Sure. Tell people exactly what's going on.
This becomes something that breaks out into the forefront because Mauro Ranallo all of a sudden is no longer appearing on SmackDown a couple weeks ago. At first, it's because there are weather problems. That's kind of shot down. Then there's health issues. He is known to be bipolar. He's tweeting about being in recovery, so maybe there was some issue there.
He also apparently has – it's not just bipolar. Like, he has a history with just sudden bouts of depression as well, which is obviously kind of stemmed from the same thing. But also that in the past, if it gets bad enough inside mentally for him, he will just shut down and stop showing up to work, right? Like, this is a thing that has happened in the past for him. And so, he knows that it's possible at any moment. It could happen. So that happened.
Yeah, parallel to this, on the Bring It to the Table show that they're doing on the WWE Network, JBL goes on an animated rant about how he's upset that Mauro won the Dave Meltzer best announcer poll and he didn't, and made fun of Mauro for retweeting compliments and all that kind of stuff, right?
Sure.
So there's all that. Then there's all these other reports that maybe he was mean to him behind the scenes. And now you have kind of the then also here's the other big catalyst. Justin Roberts, the former ring announcer for WWE for many, many years, just published a book in which he details JBL picking on him fairly extensively, including probably the biggest of all dick moves, stealing his Justin Roberts pronouns, pal, JBL stealing Justin Roberts's passport while they are on a trip, a tour in the UK. Justin Roberts can't get back to the United States, so he has to fly from, I believe, Manchester to London to go to the American Embassy to get a new passport to then on, you know, borrowed time, basically, get back to Raw or SmackDown in the American Southwest. So,
yeah,
a lot of stuff that, of course, triggers everybody going back through every single book and every single shoot interview to find JBL bullying stories.
Yeah, there's a ton of transcripts of, like, here's a JBL story from this guy's book. Here's from this guy's book. They're just all coming out all at once. Which was like, they all came out already. All these stories were out.
People knew this stuff, yes. Right?
Knew JBL was a dick, right?
Yes.
But I guess what's making people so my issue with it is that he's doing this to, like, non-wrestlers, like non-tough guys who are part of the wrestling world. Like, that, I think, is a little bit, that's definitely a little over the line, because there is maybe, like, a wrestler's kind of boys club where they just kind of whatever. It's just locker room talk, Maggle.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, I could see that. That's possible that that's how things are. Like, when I was in a band and we were on tour, sometimes you might find yourself waking up and someone else has put their butt against your face and it's a joke and we move on. Right. And that's fine because we all kind of accepted it. We tacitly, like, agreed that it's okay that we all just
But
mess
let's
with each
let's
other
also
in
understand
ways.
That especially in 2017, when there is more information out there, maybe sometimes more or less or confused context around that information, that somebody, to use your example, shoving their butthole next to your eye socket is sexual assault, right?
Sure.
Like in a certain lens.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And that's what I'm saying is, like, when he's doing it to, like, people like Ronaldo and Justin Roberts, it's like, it kind of comes across as he's just kind of being a blanket dick to everybody who works there, right?
Yes.
And not like, it's not this kind of I'm toughening you up because we're all wrestlers and we're tough guys thing.
Yeah.
It's just I'm just a dick to everybody because I think it's hilarious. And yeah, that's and then the other report too that comes out about this is that Vince, like, encourages this type of behavior. He likes it. He thinks it's funny. He wants to hear the stories. And so it creates an atmosphere where, unless you're, like, on board with that, can you even work at this company?
Well, I mean, Vince, by the way, in the Stone Cold Steve Austin podcast, a man who has built a company, became a billionaire when it went public, has cemented himself as the greatest in his profession to ever do it. He is the greatest wrestling promoter of all time. He has made his stamp on American pop culture and entertainment, the likes of which very few people have ever done. When describing his favorite thing to do in life, said looking at the face people make right as he pushes them into a pool.
Yeah.
Like, that's who Vince McMahon
is. This is the kind of stuff he likes to do. Yeah.
He loves that kind of stuff. So,
yeah.
Let me just ask you the question. Should JBL be fired, and do these stories affect you watching his work?
You know, listen, I think so if JBL refuses to alter this behavior and enough people who are with the company don't want him there, then yes, absolutely.
He should be fired.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like, if I were to go to my job and steal coworkers' passports and, like, because that's really screwing with, like, that's not just a funny joke. That's really, that's a little over
well,
the
line. Especially considering
like that, right?
He never got it back. Like,
yeah,
know, that was
like you're
other
making life tougher on these people. It's not just like I shoved your face in a cake or something like that at a birthday party. This is like kind of, you know, and then there's a lot of stuff too that's like he's grabbing people's butts in the shower and sudsing them up
a
and
lot
shoving
of butt
broomsticks
stuff.
Up places. And there's a lot of stuff that sounds just real bad.
Just also butt centric. There's
a lot of butt centric stuff. Yeah.
A lot of him walking into the shower and soaping up somebody else's butt. Let's be honest,
butts are funny. Okay, so yeah.
He apparently kept grabbing Steve Blackman's butt to the point where he, like, literally got his ass kicked which is funny because I read that story on Art Squared Circle. I've been catching up with a lot of the Bruce Pritchard show over the weekend, over through WrestleMania weekend. And he tells that same story, but from JBL's perspective, where he was grabbing Steve Blackman's butt. Blackman didn't find it funny at all. He just starts hitting JBL, Somebody asked JBL if he got into a fight with Steve Blackman, and he's like, well, God damn, I got hit four times before I realized there was a fight. Ball game, Maggle.
Yeah, he's like, that's not the response to me grabbing your butt. What are you doing? Well, Blackman, not the most humorous of human beings. But so, look, if he was willing to come out and say, I'm sorry for all this, publicly, like, apologize, whatever, I'm sure
should he be suspended? Should he be reprimanded?
Sure, like a suspension, sweep it under the rug for a while, let people kind of forget about it. He comes back later, it's probably going to be fine. If he's not willing to do that and he just is like, no, this is just what I do, then all right, probably the guy has to go. If, you know, because it's just, it's another like black mark on a company that has several black marks. It's not, none of these are like big enough to like topple the WWE, right? I mean, like we had the steroid thing in like the 80s or whatever. And obviously you had the Bill DeMott thing, and there's been plenty of stuff.
To me, the DeMott thing is more insidious. Just because you are dealing with people that may or may not be a part of your company, that might may or may not be a part of your business, and
also you're in a position of power over them.
You
right?
are.
So now
JBL, when especially when he was champion, which is when this Justin Roberts stuff happened, is in a position of power. But the idea of Bill DeMott doing it seems like he is taking advantage of people at their most vulnerable. Not to say that these other people that JBL was picking on weren't vulnerable, but you know, we look at and I see this a lot on Squared Circle. People are like, "Oh, I can't do this at my job. I'd get fired." Well,
yeah.
Willie, you were in a band, and you were just telling to start all this off. You talked about the pranks that people pull on the road.
Sure.
The WWE is a lot more like you on the road than it is about somebody else selling insurance somewhere.
It's not like an office.
It's not an office
at all,
right? Yeah. There is a different culture. There is a lot of testosterone. There's a lot of aggressiveness. Again, professional wrestlers have all the aggression of athletes with all the ego and fragility of actors. You're going to get some weird situations mixed in there, right? Not to say that everybody's like that, but that can oftentimes be part of the extremes. I'm curious at this reaction, but I don't think anything's going to happen. Although,
well,
I wouldn't be shocked if there was some kind of like some explainer on the culture, or we start to see more people that we trust and we like, you know, people who have podcasts like Stone Cold Steve Austin and Jim Cornette, who has already defended JBL, that there's a little bit more of an explanation of what was and wasn't cool.
I don't want to sit here and like condone, you know, what is like essentially in some cases assaulting people is like, that's just totally okay. But I think the point that we're making is like, you know, it's what we're seeing right now is we're seeing like, if an office environment, if like the people who generally work in an office are suddenly now exposed to what's been going on in an environment that is not at all like theirs, and they're just appalled by it. Right. It's kind of like the culture that you get kind of today where, you know, every kid gets a trophy, and it didn't used to be that way, but we're all just like, well, but I didn't get a trophy. I wanted a trophy. And so it's like, we're getting that type of a feeling like seeping in, and people are finding out about stuff that doesn't fly in their world. And so they're like, this shouldn't fly anywhere, you know, 'cause this doesn't fly here. And I think the point here is that it's not necessarily a black and white situation everywhere, because there's always context. And there's, like I said, the context might be that JBL wasn't, you know, horribly mistreated as a child and has these weird inside issues, but maybe that he's just kind of a dick anyway, testosterone fueled, also then was treated maybe like this on his way up in the wrestling world and just thinks this is part of what he's supposed to do. Like hazing in the NBA happens.
Hazing at fraternities. Hazing in professional sports.
It's been going
on
forever. It's a hard thing to just break that. Like, to just tell people this is no longer allowed. And you're like, what? This happened to me. This is what we just do.
Well,
it's
and like,
fine,
why did I have to suffer it? Where it's just like, you know, because I think that's probably the first thing that anybody ever says when an old timer is brought up, or this is brought up with an old timer, is just like, well, I watched Stan Hansen rip off an Oldsmobile hood ornament and shove it right up Ole Anderson's butthole. Like, you know, like, sure. This ain't nothing. I'm coddling him.
It's just part of the culture. That's the thing I'm saying. Like, doesn't make it right. It's just part of the culture, and it's what they've been doing for so long. To just suddenly have them turn it off might not be just as easy as you think. It might not just be like Vince coming out and saying, I don't want this to happen anymore. And look, over time, I think it will happen less. I think we'll have it. It's just kind of one of those things where as time goes on, things just tend to change. Right.
Yeah.
But it doesn't happen immediately. And, you know, like I said, this is definitely a new stain. JBL should just address it somehow. And if they could do that and do it in a respectful way, he'll be fine. If they can't do that, he might have to go. It might come to that. I don't know. We'll see. Depends on how far people are willing to.
Nothing's happening unless there's more heat turned up on this. And I don't know. I mean, there's more mainstream stuff being kind of written about it than otherwise. A big gust up on Twitter this weekend between Jonathan Coachman and Dave Meltzer, who is fired up. 5-star fired up. He didn't have to go to the Tokyo Dome to get 5-star fired up. The old Melts about this whole thing. He is on fire. So we will see where it plays out. We got a couple more things that we do want to get to, though, before we discuss the future of this very show. Let's fold in the news now that Kofi Kingston will require surgery on his ankle with the fact that there is going to be a superstar shakeup. How privy to the rumors are you, Willie? And let's start there. How much of these rumors do you know?
I actually have been not paying as much attention to current rumors and such, just because the last few days I logged into Squared Circle, it was all JBL stuff.
It was just all about whose butt JBL touched over the past 30 years.
Now, I will say this, though. I had a fun R-Squared Circle moment, which is I'm sure everybody who's over there had, where you log in, you look at breaking news, Kofi sustained an ankle injury. Top comment, Kurt Angle's been Raw GM for a minute. Somebody already has a broken ankle. Great comment. Well played. Credit sometimes does come through with the gold.
So let's break this down. But since you don't know the rumors, I have read the rumors. We are led to believe this will be a 2-night event. I assume that it'll just basically be a Raw and a SmackDown with overarching themes. Where
one Raw, one SmackDown. We'll hear some stuff happening. People show up on the show they weren't supposed to be on.
Yeah, my guess is that this will be centered around trades. You know, that there will be negotiations that they have to trade. X amount of people are at the cut, Y amount of people, and that now that's going to be one thing or another. Who would you like to see traded to the other side?
So a lot of people don't want to see AJ Styles go over to Raw. I really do. Just because I want to see the feuds that can happen over there. I want to see him feuding with you know, some of the guys that he hasn't been able to, especially if he's going face. It makes a lot of sense. You know, you got like KO and stuff like that over there. They could do some pretty cool stuff together.
Yeah.
So, and then of course, like, you know, Randy Orton or somebody like that, they could do some pretty cool stuff. So yeah, I definitely want to see that move. And, I wouldn't mind seeing a lot of the tag teams all move to kind of one place. And then maybe you could keep the tag teams that aren't really necessarily like forced to always be tag teams. They could kind of be this, like, they could float in and out of tag team matches. I like the idea that all the tag teams are like constantly at war with each other.
Okay,
and not
all right.
So
well,
much
here,
of
come on. Put together a trade for me. All right. So you want AJ Styles on Raw? Who does Raw give up for AJ Styles?
Oh, damn, that's a tough one. Ooh.
What is AJ Styles worth? You said tag team, so if you're going to go on Raw tag teams, that's Enzo and Cass, The New Day, The Club. I mean, maybe the expiring contract of the Shining Stars.
Because the Club and AJ get a program together. But, you know, you could send, like, Enzo. Like, this is what I'm saying. Like, keep, like you know, Cesaro, Sheamus over there, because they could do some single stuff.
Okay.
And then, so yeah, like, are you saying like trade AJ Styles for two guys? I mean, I could see that.
I think he's worth. I mean, effectively,
that could be part of the storyline. Is that AJ is worth definitely two guys.
I mean, AJ might be worth a tag team and a throw-in.
Sure, absolutely. But okay, so now I guess the question too is, where are you going with like some of these other guys who kind of don't really have anything happening right now? I guess that's the thing too, because those guys really need the shakeup more than anything, right? Well, I guess you could say like Enzo, and then like I'll throw in a Titus too, right?
I mean, can I interest you in a Titus? Can I interest
exactly.
you?
Exactly. Yeah, sure. Maybe something like that. I could see that.
I see you
in Joe to stay in Raw, though.
I see you in the Twitch chat suggest AJ for Charlotte. Would you do a straight up AJ for Charlotte?
Well, Charlotte definitely should go to SmackDown as well. That makes a lot of sense. Like, you'd say it's the best female wrestler for the best male wrestler.
Yeah.
You could also do like AJ for Seth Rollins. Because that seems like a straight up, you could kind of just do it, right?
That they can kind of plug right into.
Yeah. Like they both just now have fresh things to do, right? And I guess then the question, though, too, is do you want to end up with the Shield all in one place so that you can kind of.
I think that's the big
work
question.
With some angles
right?
there.
Yeah. Especially because, you know, we still don't know exactly what's going to happen with this KO Samoa Joe Triple H faction.
Sure.
If AJ does come to Raw, that means he is now back with Gallows and Anderson. We don't know. The club can go kind of face or heel, whichever way you want to go.
Mm.
Now,
the key piece here that's really screwing this all up for me is there's no more Simon Gotch. I don't know what to do now.
Oh. I always have a soft spot for Simon Gotch because I went to an NXT house show in like Daytona or Lakeland or something when I had a go game in Orlando years and years ago. Mm. And they were working a program with Enzo and Cass, and the crowd in whatever armory or whatever is cheering like, let's go Enzo, let's go Cass. And Simon Gotch just from the apron, just kind of in this bellowy voice, it's a small room, just says, they're going nowhere. I just love that. I thought that was really good. Now this is what you do give up as ICU and Etele in the chat room, Tisla in the chat room says, you are giving up AJ versus Nakamura if you move them to two different shows.
But are you giving it up or are you just delaying the inevitable? And allowing them to work some hot programs along the way to that inevitably becoming.
I think
like
we can agree if that waits until WrestleMania, we're fine.
That's fine.
We're fine.
I'm good with that.
Yeah.
I guess the key here though is like SmackDown has a lot of feuds right now that are kind of they're in the middle of things. This isn't the time to be breaking up these feuds, right?
Yeah.
Like if you were to suddenly send Bray Wyatt, you know, packing, like it would just be like, what?
Yeah.
Why? You know?
Although
so it's hard
to be honest,
find guys that make sense to be sending to the other side right now from at least from SmackDown.
Here's what I kind of feel like SmackDown is though. SmackDown is kind of the island of misfit toys, right?
Okay.
Where you can kind of see whether or not people really have it or they don't. It's more of the wrestling show. It's more kind of regular character based. And that's why I think, to me, Seth Rollins is great on SmackDown because Seth is somebody that really hasn't connected in the way that he might as a babyface. I would love to see him there. To be honest, though, you know who I would think would be the biggest on SmackDown? Bam! 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 I would love Roman Reigns on the wrestling show where we just get to see Roman Reigns wrestle, where he just gets to wrestle good matches all the time. Like, and it's not, you can put a little bit less of the weight of the show on him because it's a little bit more of an evened out a situation. I feel like he would be awesome on SmackDown.
So, I have a question. They've got Eric Rowan listed as a SmackDown guy. That wasn't ever really. Was that just from before, or was that kind of reannounced at some point?
He came back on the SmackDown after Mania.
Okay. Okay. I thought that he came back, but I was not sure exactly what had happened with that.
Yeah.
Okay.
He came back and wrestled that.
So
that
they got all like everybody outside of Braun is on SmackDown as far as like Wyatt stuff.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like, those guys can't really move, right? So it's, like, hard to figure out exactly how to move all these people and make stuff make sense. Like, who? Because if you send Roman and you send Seth and then you leave Dean Ambrose there, who do you send to Raw? Like, who goes to Raw that, like, makes sense outside of AJ, right? You sending, like, Apollo Crews and Baron Corbin or something?
You could send, yeah. You could send AJ. You could send Baron. And then Alexa Bliss, maybe.
Okay. All right. I guess
I'll
that's
tell you
true.
What.
And
hey,
then, like,
by the way.
This guy's like Ty Dillinger made his debut on SmackDown. Does he have to stay there? He doesn't have to.
Doesn't,
you know?
Doesn't. I think they just spread out those pops, those NXT pops.
Yeah, exactly. They just didn't want them all in one show, yeah.
By the way, so you want to know.
There's guys that can move, for sure.
You want to know who might go to Raw?
Hmm.
I mean, the Raw general manager is Kurt Angle. If he were to select, in kayfabe, a tag team from SmackDown, you got to figure American Alpha.
American Alpha makes the most sense, yeah.
Would make the
sure.
most sense, right? That he would have a soft spot for them. So,
yeah, the one thing I hope that doesn't happen, though, is I hope that it's not just like they're doing the Bayley angle where they're just always freaking out when they run into Kurt Angle. I want him to, like, literally, like, take them under his wing, right? And suddenly, like, they're using, you know, ankle locks all the time. They're doing friggin' 450 splashes or whatever off the top ropes.
Yeah.
But they're doing, like, they're pulling out some Angle stuff that you're like, well, they learned all this from the man himself. And then, yeah, he keeps kind of, like, putting them in, like, the best matches. And that would really get them over, by the way, over there, too, because I think they've stagnated a touch since moving up to the main roster.
Well, so. I think part of that is also them kind of cooling them down a little bit. A, they kept them cool coming out of NXT because they were really hot, but they had something with the Rhino Heath Slater thing that they wanted to give a run. And now they got the belts off of them, so you kind of wonder whether or not they are not long for SmackDown. Here is something that is rumored.
Kind of a just like, here's a match on regular SmackDown. There's no match for WrestleMania, so. And then the Usos just kind of won. Yeah, you're right. There wasn't a lot of pomp and circumstance around that.
No.
There wasn't a big built-up feud, necessarily. I mean, they, like, hurt them a couple times, but yeah, you're right.
Here's something that is rumored to happen. That is that the New Day will be heading to SmackDown. They will, however, be one-third light, as it now has come to light that Kofi Kingston will require surgery on his ankle. Give me titles that you would like to see singles competition for between the surviving members of the New Day, the healthy members of the New Day. What do you think Big E should go for? What do you think Kofi Kingston, Xavier Woods should go for?
Xavier Woods. I mean, Big E should definitely, at some point, I think, be challenging for a world title. Like, at some point.
Yeah.
And Xavier, I think, makes a lot more sense for, like, IC stuff. And so, yeah, probably something along those lines. Whether Big E actually gets the world title, I don't know. But at least be on the list of people who make sense to be fighting for that. Because, come on. The
it's
guy's
time.
Been, he's been around for a while doing some pretty good stuff. And he's built like a world champion. Yeah, I would like to see it at some point.
It's time for them to start challenging for single stuff. And Kofi being a manager would, I think, be the best. The best of all worlds is we get multiple New Day entrances and Big E. I'll tell you what. Here's something I don't know that a lot of people would say. Big E versus Randy Orton, I'm kind of in. I'm in as a feud. The New Day just clowning Randy Orton. I'm all about it.
No, for sure. And Randy Orton, like, just be not getting the joke ever.
Never.
It's just making him angrier and angrier.
Yeah.
And also, they could put on a pretty good match, man. Big E can really go. I would like to see. It would be cool if at some point they both actually had the titles, and so then you could have the whole New Day thing where they're doing their little dance, but instead it's like, you know, your world heavyweight champion and your Intercontinental. They could just, like, have that go on for, you know, a really long time.
I mean, that's the one spot that they never really got. That usually when you have a super over group, there's, like, that moment where they just win everything.
Everything, right? Yeah.
You know, where they have all the gold. DX did it. The NWO did it. Very interesting to see if the New Day could do it. So that is up in the air. We will find that out tonight. But here's something that we're going to find out right now. Willie, we started this show before Survivor Series saying that this was going to be a Road to WrestleMania show.
Yep.
We are now a week past WrestleMania.
We did what we set out to do.
We
Justin.
Did.
We came. We said we were going to do a show leading up to WrestleMania. Try to get me and you to WrestleMania.
That happened.
We did that. And, I guess now the question is, where do we go from here? What's our next angle? Do we have a feud lined up? Are we just... Are we going back to the indies? What's going on here, Justin?
There was a moment that we had when we first got into our seats, or maybe it was as the pre-show was going on, when we were talking to some of the guys that were sitting next to us.
Yeah.
And these were guys that flew international, spent the money that we spent on these tickets, and were just over the moon, and we kind of realized exactly how lucky that we were that mm-hmm. not all this came out of our pocket, right?
Not only that, but that we're not alone on this journey, right? Like that.
Yeah.
To see those guys, you know, he was the guy next to me. There was a guy from Canada next to me, and a guy from
Ryan, our new
Scotland,
best friend from Glasgow, Scotland. Yeah.
So those guys, and they both had a similar kind of story where it's like, yeah, I wanted to go to WrestleMania and I finally could make it happen. Right. And, you know, just they were lucky enough to be sitting next to us, I think, because we just brought them into the fold. It was like, all right, we're all here for WrestleMania. Let's do this. That might not have happened. That could have been a thing where that guy just sat there by himself talking to nobody.
Yeah.
Maybe still enjoying the hell out of the show. But just to look over and be like, that's not our story at all. Like, we're here together.
Mm-hmm.
We have, you know, a bunch of, like, we have a thing to do here. We're making a show.
We're working.
While we're here.
Yeah.
It's kind of the glue that ties all of it together is that we continue to have these audio diaries to do. And all of that just made the trip just, yeah, like, this is something we shouldn't really take for granted, right? That we've got this going.
I think it's safe to say we're going to keep doing the show. Just because, I mean, I think when it was all said and done, when the experiment kind of came and went, there was just a very stark reality, which is that although, you know, we very much appreciate, you know, all the support that comes in for this show, either Dills or I, our rents are not dependent on it. Right?
Sure.
You know, we make our money elsewhere. But the idea that we could give you guys such value that you would like to kick in money back, and that meant that we could continue to bring you not only WrestleMania, but also possibly SummerSlam, possibly Survivor Series, possibly, you know, WrestleMania in New Orleans, that we could continue to bring you guys to these kinds of places. Because I'll tell you what, I listen to a lot of wrestling shows. I listen to a lot of wrestling podcasts, and a lot of these podcasts are about making money for themselves. We're not trying to make money for ourselves. We're trying to bring you guys along with us on these experiences that Willie or I have ever gone through. So we are trying to open up that window. We're trying to open up that portal, and I think that became our new mission. On the floor of WrestleMania was that we want to continue to do a bigger, better show for you guys to make sure that we can continue to bring you this, I believe to be very unique content.
I think, you know, at first our mission was just simply to get to WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And, you know, and now the mission is much broader, I think. And that is to continue to foster this community of people and make sure that they are represented at these wrestling shows. Right. Like that, that the people who are in our Discord every time there's a pay-per-view,
yep,
and every time there's a Raw and a SmackDown and there's stuff going on, they're in there when NXT is happening and they're all chatting it up with each other and having a blast, that those people, the people who listen to the show, also feel like, you know, for like a dollar an episode, I can also just be at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Instead of spending, you know, $3,000 on airfare, tickets, and accommodations, right? And so, like, if we could, like, kind of extend that and like you said, have everybody come along with us
and
we can
it.
Do that. If and we can just do a couple of shows a year, it's worth it. It's worth the time and the effort to get together and
I mean, if we don't go to another show, like, it's worth it, right?
Sure.
But I will say this. From here on out, there is no my money. There is no Dills' money. We have the wrestling fund. And we will decide as a group. I'll tell you, we'll decide as patrons where that wrestling fund gets spent. So you guys can help us figure out what we're going to, how we're going to cover it, what you guys want. Do you want more interviews? Do you want more us on the road talking to people that are all dressed up in cosplay? Whatever you want, that's what we want to do. So, yes, the show is continuing. Yes, you can still support it at patreon.com/1900wrestling. Yes, you can still join the Discord, which will be humming tonight, tomorrow, Wednesday for NXT, and all the other days going forward. Thank you. To everybody who made that happen, and please, we implore you, be a part of the most interactive community that we have. We're not trying to start a Facebook group of 50,000 people. We're not trying to flip T-shirts to you. We're trying to make sure that you are a part of this experience in the best way possible. So thank you for doing that. We're going to keep going. You want to know, here's something that we haven't done in a while, though, Willie.
What's that?
That is our Melodica challenge.
Oh, yeah.
So here's how the Melodica challenge is going to work. If the first time you're listening to it, maybe because a lot of people listen to the WrestleMania show, we have Trey Warren, our Melodica master, who's not so much of a master, has done wrestling themes on the Melodica. Some of them are good. Some of them are not so good.
Mastery is in his non-mastery.
Yeah, exactly.
Melodica.
Crappy,
right?
Melodica, yes. Covers.
Yes.
Here is...
which makes them the best thing ever.
Here is a sample. Which, of course, is Asuka, if you did not pick up on that. Here was last week's. Wow, I think that's this week's, actually.
Is that the new one? I feel like I've heard that one, though.
Did you?
I feel like we heard it. Was, yeah. I feel like we did hear that one.
That was last week's. Okay, so Trey Warren is in the chat. He said that was last week's.
Yeah.
So here we go. That was last week. I dream of genie.
We thought I dream of genie and not. Yeah, I cannot think of who this is.
All right, so here we go. Yeah, I don't remember it though. So wait, Trey Warren's in the chat. Who was that then? Because I don't know. I don't know the answer to that off the head. Normally, I'm pretty good at guessing these. I cannot guess that one for the life of me. One more time here. Oh,
Fandango!
Fandango!
Wow!
All right.
Okay. Yeah, so, that makes sense. That makes sense now.
Here we go. And by the way, this is the last. I think Trey sent me another stopgap one, so we do have one after this week. But then I'm gonna need more. I'm gonna need more from Trey. Mm. So here we go. This is the Melodica challenge for this week. He goes out with a bang. That's
wow.
Trey Warren. Here we go one more time.
Yeah, gotta hear one more time.
I have a guess, but I'll tell you what. You can go ahead and guess. We're now going to give away the answer to the Melodica Challenge if you subscribe to the Patreon. So if you are a patron of the show, you will get it today. You'll be able to find out by the time you listen to this exactly what the answer to that Melodica Challenge is. However, if you don't, you're going to have to wait until next week when we will reveal who it is. All right.
I'm racking the brain a little bit, but I got some thoughts, but I'm not 100%. So
I'm
looking forward to the Patreon.
Dills is going to be glued to his email.
Yes.
busy week for you, Willie. You had the Ungoro launch for Hearthstone. You did a big. I was happy to be part of your marathon on launch day.
We streamed for about 4+ hours, then took a break, then came back and streamed for like another 12 or so.
Yeah.
That was
beastly.
That was quite the stream day for me.
Simply beastly.
Yeah. But then the next day I wanted to come back and do it again, but I was like, there's just no way I can do it. So we ended up hanging out and playing some pool. But then on Saturday, we did like a little mini pool stream at my buddy's house. And ended up streaming there for about 10 hours. Played some VR Star Wars and VR, what's the zombie game or whatever. It was super fun. So now today we finally make our triumphant return to the crater. We're coming back to Ungoro, and that's going to be pretty much the whole rest of the week, plus the Angry Chicken, plus the instance, plus all the other stuff.
Everything.
So twitch.tv/WillieDills. Doing all the stuff there.
Absolutely. Ungoro's fun, man. I'll tell you what.
It's super fun, dude. Super fun. There's so much to do. This is the best expansion they've put out by far. Like, easily.
I know. I'm glad everybody's recognizing it on Reddit.
Reddit's totally in love with it, man.
Well, you just knew that it was going to get off to a really great start when everybody was complaining because the Euro launch was 2 hours late. You know, that was really a great way to start the conversation. Folks, you can support this channel at twitch.tv/JustinRYoung. Again, Patreon at patreon.com/1900Wrestling. Real quick email, this coming in from SNY Walker. Brett, you said, I was wondering if I could plug my fundraiser here on 1900Wrestling. As a lifelong wrestling fan, I couldn't pass up turning my upcoming haircut into an angle. I've been growing my hair since 2012, and I'll be donating all of it to Wigs for Kids in the very near future. However, it takes a lot of hair to make one wig, and it only helps one person. I'm trying to expand the contribution by raising funds and awareness to cure childhood cancer. They're a wonderful nonprofit which specializes in research and patient and family assistance. Thank you very much. Go to bit.ly/FUCKCancerDIAF. That again is bit.ly/FUCKCancerDIAF. That about wraps it up for us. Until next time, my name is Justin Robert Young. That's Willie Dills Gregory. We will see you in the ring.
I want you to call me for all of wrestling's latest news and views. I've been involved in wrestling for 35 years, and nobody knows wrestling like me. Remember the number
1-900. Wrestling!
Stupid idiots.
They call me Hara!
If you smell what The Rock is cooking.
Red light.